Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host and the Dean and Founder of Directions University, Gina Gaudio-Grave, calling to you live this week from wonderful, sunny Arlington Heights, Illinois, in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And I have my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself, with us. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello. I'm calling to you from sunny but chilly Missouri, Branson, Missouri area.
Well, I haven't been outside in days, so I don't know if it's cold, but it's certainly sunny, and they're saying by Thursday we're going to have rain, not snow.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
I'm hoping it's warm enough for us to go out to Silver Dollar City to see the beautiful holiday lights that they have out there. It's been so cold that nobody wants to go.
Oh, we had a very, very white Christmas. It snowed all weekend long over here. You guys have a very white Christmas as well?
No, we had a little bit of a dusting of snow that landed on my porch and on the rooftops and hung around for part of the day and then melted. So we are south of there, of where you are at the moment. So we've been great, although Atlanta has been really hammered with snow.
Man, and our guest today, I can't wait to hear about how that has been in Atlanta. What was it, like a 100-year record or something?
I was snowing a lot down there and you know, for inclement weather all along the coast. So really happy I didn't have to travel by plane any place this week.
Yeah, me too. Man, that blizzard in New York, wow, it looked nasty.
Yeah, no kidding. Woo. Yeah, it looked just amazing. Well, I'm really excited to bring our guest to us today, and it was fun because I've known him for, 3 years or whatever, and it just got to meet him when you and I were in Everyday Online Entrepreneur down in Atlanta. And so it was really fun when you get to actually meet somebody in person that you've known for a long time in the work that you and I do so often. You meet someone at a conference or whatever, and you may have known them for months or years before actually being able to be right in front of them.
And our guest and his wife are two of my favorite people. I've been eating their Christmas cookies for days. They sent me a nice little box to make my ankle better, and it's been so much fun eating them all.
Oh, wow. Well, yes, I understand his wife's a phenomenal cook.
Oh, she really is. I've had the benefit of being there to taste her cooking once or twice already, and she's a marvelous cook. So why don't you do the honors and introduce our guest today?
I absolutely will. So today, our guest is Michael Craig, and he is a former chiropractor. He is a meditation instructor and the author of The Logical Soul, and you'll see that book right on our show notes, show page here for the show on Blog Talk Radio. So with The Logical Soul, he has a method that he teaches you to eliminate self-sabotage in 30 minutes or less. And he is also working on his newest book, The Money Matrix Method, and he and I had a good time talking about that book last week in a call I recorded for him. Well, so his journey into self-discovery began at an early age, and he was having some awakening experiences, and those really opened him up on the inside. And he began to have a desire to heal himself and also to heal other people or to be an instrument of healing. So his lifelong mission has, from then on, has been to find an answer to suffering and to lack, some big issues that people face in their daily lives. So he had studied psychology in college And he was starting to realize that the classical therapy approaches were really not addressing the deepest reality of humanity. And so that, again, you know, it keeps him going on his quest. Back in 87, he traveled to Sri Lanka to study and to work in an alternative medical hospital using acupuncture, homeopathy, and other alternative methods for healing. And then he experienced regular miracles. We were talking miracles last week. We're talking miracles again. It's the season of it, right?
Absolutely.
So he also had a growing sense about that it was the limited conscious awareness in people that was at the root of so many of the issues. And so he wanted to bring miracles into his life and into the lives of others on, you know, not just a happenstance basis, but on a regular basis. And that's what caused him to develop his technique called the logical soul. In his new book, The Money Matrix Method, will take his logical soul technique and specifically relate it to money and overcoming money issues. So Michael and his wife, Bridget, are just growing leaps and bounds because in their relationship, they use his techniques that he's developed on a regular basis. And it's wonderful to see a couple who really act as a couple and care and love each other and aren't constantly fractious and so forth. It's beautiful to see them. I got to meet them both in Atlanta, which was a pleasure. Well, he's teaching and he's coaching. He's lecturing. He just was speaking about the logical soul at a conference recently. And so he's always developing great programs to serve people. And I'm really excited to have Michael Craig here on our show with us. So welcome.
Welcome, Rhonda. Thank you for that introduction. That was amazing.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Just you. You're
welcome
amazing.
From sunny but cold Atlanta, where we had our first white Christmas in 128 years.
I thought that was a record.
Yeah, it was quite a record, and we've had snow here before, obviously, but never on Christmas, at least for 128 years. So it was quite an event here. So unfortunately, a lot of people don't appreciate it up north, but here it's a big deal.
Mhm. Well, I enjoyed having a little bit of it on Christmas, but we've had, I don't know, over a foot of snow in the last week, and you know, a little snow is fine. A foot's another story.
Yeah, it gets old after a while, I know. So,
anyway,
thank you for the comments about my wife. I'll pass it on to Brigitta. I know she would love to talk to you herself. I didn't know the show started at 12. For some reason, 1:30 stuck in my mind, but that was the end of the show, so I apologize.
Yes.
I was scurrying to get the word out and then realized, oh, my goodness, I got to get on the phone call. So I scurried to get on here. So I did make it.
Well, hey, you're here, and that's all that matters.
That's true.
We're here,
that's true.
We're very happy that you are here, and it's all good. Everything works out. So.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. You two are some of my favorite people in the world, and I just want to let you know that I really appreciate both of you.
Well, thank you so much.
That's awesome.
So I've had the pleasure of being a guest on your radio show where we got to talk a lot about me and what I do. So I've been looking forward to having you on this show so we can talk about you and what you do. And
okay.
For our readers, I'd really like to use what you talk about in The Logical Soul and really get them to understand what it's all about and this very simple process that you use for eliminating self-sabotage in only 30 minutes. How did that whole process come about?
Well, actually, how did it come about? Was that the question?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it came about actually over years and years of just being stuck. And I guess you might relate to what I'm talking about. Most people can. The feeling of just being stuck and not being satisfied with being stuck. It was almost like I was doing all the right things. And talking about money, you know, I'll get to that in a minute. But primarily in relationships, I was just totally inept at relationships growing up. I didn't understand these strange creatures called women or even men. I I didn't have good relationships with just about anyone, and it was difficult. I was very shy, very withdrawn, because I had these experiences early as a child, probably too early, that just sort of opened me up, and I became like super, super sensitive to everything around me, and I didn't know how to handle that. I was taking on everybody's stuff. I didn't know that was the case. I had no one to talk to about that. So it was very difficult for me to sort of fit in, to sort of merge with other human beings and relate to them in any meaningful way. And I just basically became isolated. Until I began starting to meditate, and I discovered that, hey, I wasn't a freak. there's something inside of me that actually is stable. And I discovered what that was, and I began to grow from inside out, I guess you would say, and learn that I wasn't neurotic, that I wasn't crazy. I was just really sensitive. I was just really open to everything and anything, yeah. And had to learn how to be selective in those things that I paid attention to and put my attention on. And Logical Soul, I guess, came about as a result of the search for what was this being inside of us that ran our lives? And why did it seem to run our lives in ways that we didn't consciously want to go? In other words, was this a destiny? It doesn't seem to be a destiny, because a lot of times it seemed like it just really, really screwed up and things just went downhill. So my search was to look for that reasoning, that understanding why this internal, I call it the inner being, there's a HUNA name for it and some other things, but why did our lives seem to be going in directions that we just consciously did not want it to go. We consciously wanted it to go exactly the opposite, as a matter of fact. And so that was a search for it, and I called it the logical soul because it seemed to be an inherent logic related to this subconscious yearning to go in certain directions and do certain things, and our abilities to be able to do these things, as well as create miracles. It also created disasters. And what was the logic behind this soul yearning? And I guess logical soul was just a way of communicating between the conscious and subconscious, coming up with some sort of technique that could sort of put them on the same path. Sort of like if you have a cart with a horse and you're wanting to go in one direction and you rig the horse, or the horse is up front, you go in one direction. Well, if you have a team of horses and you're linking half of them in the back, half on the side, and the rest up front, you're going to go in all different directions or you're not going to go anywhere. And so how do we put all of our horses in the front, so to speak? How do we become more congruent with what we say we want and what we actually get? And this was a problem for me most of my life, and I discovered ways to overcome that in relationships. And I must say I'm very happily married. My wife and I love each other very much, and it shows, and I just couldn't be happier in that department. The next thing I've tackled was money, and that's been a lifelong search of mine to figure out what were the blocks, what were the breaks that we put on ourselves that stop us from getting what we want financially, and how to get through to that. So that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. It came out of your own quest.
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, go ahead, Rhonda.
Sorry. It came out of your own quest, which many people, many great businesses are born that exact way, where it's because you noticed a problem not only within yourself, an issue that you had, but noticed that other people had the same issue. And then looking for that solution for yourself, that's not enough. So you wanted to be able to share that, right?
Right. And the biggest problem I had was, first of all, knowing what it was I was even looking for. Because this was not something that had a handle on it. You know what I'm saying? It was not something clearly defined. Like, you know, I had a pain or I had some problem. The problem wasn't even clearly defined. I couldn't even figure out what the problem was in the beginning. And so
you just knew that you didn't like what you had.
I knew mm-hmm. that I didn't like my life the way it was, and I was trying to figure out what the heck, you know, what can I do to make it work? And, you know, I tried all the obvious things, like, you know, tried get-rich-quick schemes and tried this and that and did all the stuff. But without the foundation, without the capacity for wealth, for example, I had no idea that I was just, for every switch I was turning on, I was turning two of them off, and I just couldn't figure out what was stopping me. And it was this realization and this understanding of how to get feedback from the subconscious, which is quite simple, and I'll go into muscle testing shortly. Both of you know what I'm talking about. That I began to discover that there was a limit to what I could find out internally, and then I accidentally discovered a way to accessing those decisions that are the deepest decisions that we have inside that sort of run our lives, that sort of set up what I call the matrices of this logical soul that run our lives. And that's what my latest book is about. The Money Matrix Method is basically to go into these decisions that form this matrix, switch the decisions, switch these, or change these decisions that have to do with the limits to our wealth and our ability to earn, accept, be worthy of, and so forth, as far as money is concerned, and switching those elements to where money can begin to flow again. And a lot of it is not what you think. You know, we think we work on ourselves and stuff, but our ability to attract money goes way beyond our own individual conscious awareness and into realms that a lot of us consider either mystical or somewhat strange. So, for example, I go into ancestry and things like that. That a lot of it is just beyond our conscious awareness for the most part, but has a very, very profound effect on our ability to attract money or relationships or health for that matter.
So where do you start with all of this? How can our listeners use what you have learned in your own journey in their own life?
Good question. The first thing is I put the technique, logical soul, and to a lesser degree, the money matrix method and the other matrices that I'm working on have pretty much the same format. It's basically a four-step process. The first step is the interview. And, of course, if I recommend that you work with someone else as a partner or someone as a therapist or a partner or somebody who can get feedback from you and your subconscious and give you the feedback, in a sense, because other people see you a lot better than you see yourself, quite frankly. Although you can do this technique with yourself and by yourself, it's so much better to have a partner. So let's just say you have a partner and you want to get to the root of some problems that are, say, stopping you with regards to money, say. The first step is the interview. In other words, you sit down and there's what I call the 20 questions step, where basically the other person asks you questions based on what you think your problem is. Or you sit there and basically talk about your problem, talk about, well, this is the problem as I see it. Based on that, someone else can sort of delve into that, what you're saying, if they have insight, and they can come up with statements that if these statements were true, that problem wouldn't exist. For example, in money, you might say, well, I just don't seem to have the ability to attract the cash flow. For some reason, there's more money goes out every month than comes in, and I know nobody else has that problem, but that seems to be a very common problem. And so what would be a statement that if the statement were true, your cash flow would be more powerful? And I'm not talking about steps you can take to make cash flow more powerful, because I know you guys are much bigger on that end than I am. But what are the internal decisions that stop you from generating the activities, for example, that would lead to a greater cash flow? So without that first step, you're not even going to take the action necessary to generate a cash flow, much less generate a cash flow. So step one would be the interview. What is it that if this statement were true, cash flow would be possible? And you might make a statement like, cash flow, you know, something in the line of an affirmation. Of course, this would be specific to the individual, and it may cover any number of areas not even related to money. But let's just say it just had to do with money, and that was the only issue. A statement like, cash comes easily to me, or I can accept cash, or more money comes in every month than goes out. Those are simplified forms of affirmations that you could use. And again, I'm not using affirmations in the terms of, in the sense of repeating them over and over again. These are just statements that if they were true, the problem wouldn't exist. So the first step is the interview to find out what would be those statements, what would be the fine tuning as regards to your issue that maybe you're not picking up. Maybe the issue to money has to do with something other than money. I remember And I'll just tell you a little story. The thing that started me on the road to rack and ruin, I guess you would say, when I was a very little kid, I was about 10, 11 years old, and I remember during Halloween, I wasn't much of a candy eater, interestingly enough. As a kid, I didn't really care for much for candy. So I'm going to Halloween, and I would collect all this candy, and not really wanting to eat it because I was blessed as a child not having a sweet tooth. I mean, I enjoyed candy, but I wasn't a big eater of candy. So I collect all this candy, and a week later, and I'd have this little cardboard store that my parents gave me, you know, a country store or whatever that I put together in my front yard, and I set up this store, and a week after Halloween, I would put out all this candy that I'd collected and sell it to the kids who by then were just having withdrawal symptoms. You know, they'd already eaten all their candy, so now they were having the sugar blues, and they had to have more candy, so I'd be selling them mine, and it sold really quickly. I'd also put out all the comic books I didn't want anymore and sell those and a few other items around the house, sort of like a little yard sale or garage sale. And I'd make enough money to go out and buy the comic books that I collected. I used to collect Marvel comics and go buy all of those things. And so I would make a fair amount of money every year. Actually, three or four times a year, I'd always have different schemes or different things going on that I could make money with. And so this was the case. And so I would have this store, and I remember like the second year of doing this thing, my father walked out on the front yard where I had my little store, and he just sort of dropped by for a visit. Said, "Hi, son," and says, "How you doing?" And my father was an architect, and it was hard for me to tell when my dad was serious and when he was kidding, and that was a problem in the sense that he came up to me and says, "Well, son, it's a great store you got here. Have you filed your taxes? Have you paid your sales taxes or your property taxes?" You know, he went into this thing, and I forget the exact words he used, but it had to do with, you know, some government thing or something that I had no clue what he was talking about. And I remember at that point just shutting down because I was afraid. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I knew if he said it, it had to have some importance attached to it. And so I remember shutting down. And I remember from that point, I just didn't have the motivation to get out there and make these things happen. It's sort of like it put a blunt edge, it hit my creativity with a blunt edge. It sort of created this damper on my enthusiasm. And I remember from then just having an internal sense that it doesn't matter what you do, you know, you're going to have to pay taxes or government's going to get some things or you're going to have to deal with all this red tape or something's going to take place. And to this day, I still have this feeling inside that, you know, there's so many complicated things to do before you actually make money. And I'm getting away from that. In other words, it's starting to disappear, but it took a while. It took a long time for me to get past that and to realize that there's an unlimited capacity for creativity and development and making money and all of these things. And the details can take care of themselves, or you can get somebody to take care of the details. But the point is that you move forward and you don't let it damper your enthusiasm. And I guess that was the big lesson for me, is that there's a capacity for accepting wealth, for earning wealth, for doing these things, and your capacity is limited. So anyway, that's an example of what I would call the interview process, where you begin to find out what's the specific statement. Now, obviously, I didn't come about this. In fact, this idea about my father making a statement didn't even come about until many, many years later, when I finally got in touch with the feeling that was surrounding that, which actually comes about in step 2 and 3. But just for sake of argument, what you want to do is you want to look at the issues related to what you want to accomplish and see what are the things that are blocking that specifically. And the more specific you can get, the better. So that's the first step. Sorry it took me so long to explain all that. But the second step would be discovery. And discovery has to do with feedback, getting feedback from the subconscious, finding out what is it that the subconscious is saying, or the subconscious being, I would call it, is saying that is contrary to what you actually believe or what you actually want to have happen. And this is where I use muscle testing or applied kinesiology, something as a chiropractor I used to use quite regularly, and you've probably had it done with you regularly. Chiropractors and other doctors also use this when testing vitamins and supplements, and you know, you can test for allergies, different misalignments of the spine, things like that, using the muscle test, and it's the body will give you a yes or a no. It's sort of like a simple, cheap lie detector test where you're testing yes, usually is indicated by a strong muscle or a strong bicep muscle. If you hold your arm out to the side, press on that using 3 fingers, 3 pounds of pressure, you're going to get a strong test if it's a yes. And if it's a no, or your body doesn't like the substance, the vitamin, whatever it is you're testing, then the arm will just be slightly weak. You're going to feel like a spongy feeling or a give to that strength in the muscle. And without going into a whole lot of detail about how that works, let's just say it was developed right around the 1960s. George Goodhart was a chiropractor who developed this based on some other work that came before him, where you find out that the body does have a reaction to substances, not only substances, but to thoughts, because thoughts actually create substances in the body. For example, if you're under stress, you're going to create hormone cortisol, which is going to go throughout your body. It's going to weaken the body somewhat. It will give you instant strength temporarily, but that strength comes at a cost. And so there's a slight weakening in the muscles when, for example, you make a statement that's not true. You may have heard the biblical saying, I have the strength of 10 men because I speak the truth, something like that. That's sort of an exaggeration of what I'm speaking about, but the point is that when you feel truth inside, your muscles are going to be a lot stronger. So the second step is testing these statements that you came up with in the first part, the interview, testing them to see, does the body accept this, yes or no? And usually the body will shut off, as I said, if it doesn't agree with the conscious statement. If you say your name, my name is Gino or Rhonda, you're going to test strong on that. If you say my name is Sam Jones, you're not going to test as strong. So the second step is to test the statements, to get the feedback from the subconscious being, the one that runs everything, and finding out if it's agreeing with you. If you make statements about money, and this is where the money matrix method comes in, is that discovering these statements about money, and I discovered 7 of them, or 7 areas, or what I call factors in the money matrix, then you test each of those, and you can discover your number one area where you're weak at, and begin to look at that. It may be self-worth, it may be your earning capacity, it may be something else, and I'll go into that in a minute. But I've gone on too long. Are there any questions, or do you want to interject anything in the meantime here?
Sure. No, I'm great. This is really awesome.
Yeah,
go
ahead and keep going. And just the only thing I'll just mention is that when you're talking about the particular interview questions, these are a set of questions that you have crafted, so it's not left to chance or to wondering with your system. And that's all I wanted to say about that. And please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Rhonda. Yeah, I crafted them over years and years of trial and error, basically, because in the beginning I would just have people make statements, like generalized affirmation statements, which are good for feeling good, but if they don't produce a result, you know, what difference does it make? You know, and I'll give you an example. There's, you know, you can say, well, a lot of affirmations are generally geared toward loving or accepting or being good around money. Let's say if I'm living, you know, example would be, I'm living pure, abundant, universal health and wealth, you know, and we make these statements over and over. And they're very nice statements, don't get me wrong. It's just that they don't have there's no way for the body to accept that statement as anything other than a nice sounding statement. You know what I'm saying? There's no result that comes about. In other words, it's not results-oriented. It's not results-producing, and so therefore the body is not given a specific directive in any given direction. And so what I discovered with the logical soul is that you really have to deal with decisions. And when I say decisions is what transformation is based on. If there's no decision, there's no transformation. If you can make a nice statement, it may sound good, you can feel good, but nothing really happens. And so when you make a statement in the interview phase, or come up with statements in the interview phase and test them in the discovery phase, you're really testing statements that are very specific. For example, if it comes to money, I've discovered that there's 7 areas that you're testing. The first is, how much are you worth? and I'll go into that in a minute. How much can you accept? How much money can you accept? How much can you easily earn? And how much can you act on? In other words, how much money are you committed to taking action on? And that would be the fourth level. So each of those statements I came up with over years and years and years of testing different people in different affirmations, different statements that have to do with specific amounts of money. And each of those statements, believe it or not, have a specific amount of money in your subconscious that you're attached to. Now, obviously, human beings are worth more than whatever amount of money we can put on that. But the point is that you already have a feeling inside of how much money you are worth in terms of being able to attract it, in terms of the law of attraction, say, any of those types of things. So self-worth is real important to be able to set up the parameter of how much is going to come to you or how much you can actually stand for when money comes in. And the acceptance speaks for itself. How much can you accept? If I had all the money in the world and I were sitting here with a blank check about to write you a check, Rhonda, how much money can you actually accept? And so you look at that and say, there's a feeling inside. Well, you know, if it's too much, then people look at me like I'm greedy, or maybe I can't accept because the poor don't have enough, or maybe it's not spiritual to accept money. You know, whatever the reasons, there are very good reasons, and I call it the law of the very good reason, why we don't either accept or earn or whatever it is, a certain amount of money. And so, but subconsciously, it's a good reason. We just don't know what those reasons are because we've pretty much shut them off. We've shut them down at the source and forgotten about them, thrown away the key, and we don't have access to getting there, which is the next step that I'll get to in a minute. But predominantly, what we're doing is we're testing statements that are specific. How much are you worth? You put a number on that. Test it. Yes, no. If it's weak, then you go a little lower. How much money am I worth? You test it, see. If it's still weak, you go a little lower. I mean, I've had people worth $10. I've had people worth $20 billion. So the gamut goes from A to Z and from zero to Google. So, I mean, it's
now,
Rhonda
and I both know what you mean by saying test it, and if the muscle is weak, then do this other thing. We know what that means. Can you describe for the listeners how you do that?
Sure. What you do is you have a person sit there, or say you're testing this person for their money issues, and so you have the arm out to the side. I usually use the biceps muscle and have the arm at the side to give you a little leverage. You put like three fingers on the wrist at the end of the arm as if it's outstretched, and you just sort of push a little bit. You're going to feel a little give, and you just, until you explain to this person, what I'm going to be doing is putting like 3 pounds of pressure, three fingers here, and I'm just going to be pressing on the arm. I want you to hold this arm out and resist my pressure. And so what you do is you play with it for a while, and it's an art, it's not a science, but just sort of play with it for a while and get a feeling for, all right, this person is holding now. And so you just sort of get the feeling for what that hold means for that person. And that would be a yes. And then you have them make statements like, my name is so-and-so. And as long as the statements are true, and you go after true statements in the beginning, you're going to test those statements. You get a yes, and you're going to test each of the true statements until you feel comfortable that, yes, this is a yes, and this is what it means. Once you understand what yes means with the person, then you can start playing with what a no means to them. And so have them make false statements. And what I like to do is halfway in between, after they make false statements, so tell them, make a statement that I don't know whether it's true or not. And that's the real test of your abilities, to be able to hone in on whether this person is telling the truth or not to themselves. And once you get to that point, then you're ready to go, because a person telling something that's not true will usually go weak, even if you don't know whether it's true or not. As a tester, you can usually pick up, well, this is weak. Is that true? And they'll say, well, no. And that's a real easy muscle test. And, of course, you can override these tests. I've had, especially true with men. Men tend to want to be competitive. And so when I'm pressing down, it's like, they're going to beat me no matter what. And
muscle man.
And so it depends on who you're trying to test as well. And usually I let men know. I says, look, I don't care if you win. That's not the point. The point is, let's just get an answer here. Do you want an answer? Is getting an answer more important than winning? And, of course, they'll say yes. And then we'll go from there. And so it's not a contest. It's not a way of trying to beat someone or win or beat yourself. And I do this with my wife all the time. Even though I know what I'm doing, I'm still going to hold that muscle out no matter what. And so it's a matter of just being willing to be honest with yourself and accept that, no, this is not as strong as the other one, and just going weak when it's supposed to go weak, that type of thing. And so that, does that answer your question about how to muscle test? Or?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. Where was I on the other thing? We left off somewhere. I forgot where we were.
Yeah, you had been talking about the emotional aspects of what somebody is worth, and how there's this internal number, and the person is really not going to be aware. They may consciously want to say, well, I'm worth, $50 billion or some huge number, but what you're saying is that what you were talking about is how somewhere inside, mostly unconscious to each person, there is sort of a number of where in the inside they feel that their value is as a person. And obviously we all know humans are priceless, yes, but there is still a sense of value. And that's kind of the thing you were talking about. And you have these seven different areas with regard to money that you test for. And so it's really interesting what can come up. I'll mention that when you took me through your money matrix method process, it was really interesting. What came up for me happens to have been an ancestral issue that I certainly was not aware of, had no idea that it was there. And then once that was cleared, the whole numbering, valuing system completely changed.
Yeah, that's true. I thank you for bringing that up. The situation is that the four statements that I mentioned earlier, the self-worth, how much can you accept, how much can you earn, and how much can you act on, there were three other areas. And I just, and when I discovered those three, it was almost like a veil was open, and I realized, this is an area that really matters. This is something that's really potent. And the way I know it's potent is because a huge amount of energy is released when it's used or transformed, or when the person goes through the process, and myself included. And also the results are there. What I'm looking for are results. If you're not making money, or if you're not earning money or attracting money or whatever, I'm not doing something right. And for years and years, I was just using the first four parameters, actually for a couple of years. And I was getting some results, but nowhere near what I was looking for, because personally, I wasn't advancing. I wasn't seeing the results in myself, and that was always a thorn in my side. I said, what is it that I'm not doing? I mean, there's something I'm missing, and I kept looking for those missing pieces, and I guess the last three statements had to do with those missing pieces, or last three factors, I should say, because essentially what you're going to do in the last three is you're going to test the first four statements, worth, acceptance, earning, and action, against something that I call the mother, father, ancestral trinity, which is, in the presence of my father, for example, and I mentioned the experience I had with my father as a young child, I was testing my ability to be worth, to accept, to earn. All of them went totally weak when I said, use those statements, I can accept $50 million. That wasn't a problem. I can accept $50 million in the presence of my father went totally weak. In fact, I couldn't even accept $10 in the presence of my father. And that was like an awakening for me. And I realized this is true of most people, that the parents, mother, father, and ancestors have such a profound influence on our growth and ability to function financially that I just included them. I just said, well, use the statement in the presence of my father for all four statements, and then use in the presence of my mother for all four statements, and the last one, in the presence of my ancestors for all four statements. And, of course, the ancestors will be quite a few, and there's a process where, if that goes weak, then you begin to hone in which ancestors, mother's, father's side, how far back. And it doesn't really matter. The point is that it goes back a little further than that, and you can have what I call an ancestral conference or a family conference where you bring them in and you have this conference and you basically, and this is true with the parents as well, you basically get permission or their blessing to get beyond that. And this is where it gets beyond our own ability to get beyond our limitations, is that we're so tied in with our mother and father and ancestors and our family, our clan, or whatever you want to call it. This is such an inherent quality of each human being. And yet in the West, we've pretty much ignored it. We've pretty much just shunted it off to the side. We've said, well, family's good, but it's not going to run my life, you know. And we spend all of our lives in the West getting away from family, away from ancestors, away from our history. We're starting to come back to that. There's a movement now to where, you know, Ancestry.com and other people, other places online and things, people are starting to research their lineage and their genealogy and stuff. And that's a very important step. Native Americans, Oriental cultures, Asian cultures, African cultures all revere the ancestors, and it's for a reason. Without the ancestors, they realize they don't have the power to accomplish what they want to accomplish now. It's like taking the wisdom of the ages, taking the wisdom of so many centuries and millennia of wisdom, and being able to use that for us instead of against us is huge. And so those are the seven factors in the Money Matrix method that I've come up with, and you can easily test these just using you and another person, or you can test them yourself, which I call a self-test technique. And if you go to logicalsoul.com, I think I've got a link there somewhere to where you can go and learn how to self-test. But it's real simple. You're basically making a loop with your index finger and your thumb. If you're right-handed, I usually make the loop on my left hand. And then you use the index finger of the other hand to sort of put in the loop and push against the point of contact between the index finger and the thumb and see if you can break that contact using a modicum amount of pressure, not too much, not too little, just average. And if that breaks, just keep doing it until you feel like you're strong, basically. Most people can hold that link. And if that's strong, then what you do is you go to the next finger, the middle finger in the thumb, and try to break that. And if that's still strong, you go to the third finger, touching that to the thumb, try to break that. And that'll usually go weak, or it stays strong. If that's the case, if it goes weak, then go back to the one before. In other words, use the finger that is the strongest before it gets weak. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you just want to use a thumb and finger combination that stays strong most of the time. But it's not too strong. In other words, it's not something that you can't overcome, but it's strong enough to keep you in the yeses for more than not, I guess is a statement. I don't know if that makes sense, but I tried to explain it as best I can. It's easier to show this than it is to try to explain on radio, but you get the idea that basically you're testing your own body, you're testing yourself. This is not as ideal, obviously, as using a partner to muscle test, but in a pinch, it works. In a pinch, it's better than nothing for sure.
Right, and that's, you know, that's a good point. It is, you can test, and I guess it's just thinking about it like this, is all you're doing is using your own a deeper awareness as a mechanism of feedback. You're using your fingers to give you the feedback that's tapping into that deeper part of your awareness. And so that's what you're doing with the muscle tap you did on your head.
I think it's important to mention that doing a muscle test on yourself is not very effective. It's too easy to fool yourself. You really want to do this with a partner of some sort, and let your partner be the gauge for whether it's a yes or not when they're testing you with a muscle test, because otherwise it just doesn't work very well.
That's a good point, Gina, because I've noticed that even though I've been doing this for years and years, I can still fool myself really easily.
Absolutely. I can as well.
Yeah.
So it's
very optimal to use two people. Or more. I find that when I do, even though people don't like it, but some volunteer, if I do a session in front of a small group, for example, very, very powerful, very powerful. Of course, you need permission,
absolutely.
And people need to be aware that things come up. But if someone is willing to do something like that, it's the most powerful session someone could have, because in that group setting, it's just a tremendous amount of energy available for overcoming those barriers and those blocks, like, instantaneously. So there are various degrees of effectiveness.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
The various degrees of effectiveness, starting with self-testing and then couples testing and then group testing. But each of them have their benefits and their drawbacks. And obviously, self-testing is available all the time. That's the advantage. And so, as I said, it's better to use it than just go totally blind. But it's not as good, like you said, as having someone else test you, for sure.
Probably if you're going to self-test, meditate for a while or do something that really puts you into a deeper frame of mind, that will help. It's still not going to be as accurate, but at least it will help.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think my wife just came home. She's sort of halfway working this holiday season.
So is this all there is to the test? And from there, your blocks are instantly gone?
No.
Too bad. It would be really nice and easy if that were true.
No, that's a way of discovering. Again, we're only in step two, the discovery. Once you discover where your blocks are, the next step is to find out whether or not you have access to changing those decisions, those underlying decisions that keep you stuck wherever it is you're stuck. For example, in the presence of my father, I couldn't accept any money. So it didn't matter what else I worked on. That was my weakest. And so I set about to make a statement that in the presence of my father, I can accept $20 billion, say. And so you just create some number. It doesn't really matter because you can always go up from there. So once you're through it, by the way, then the sky's the limit. Then pretty much you can accept or earn or be worth or whatever it is, however much you want. But in the beginning, you sort of set a number, like 20 million or whatever it is. And again, it doesn't matter, but you set a number. And then you test for that. And of course, it'll go weak. You expect it to go weak because you were weak before. Once you make that statement, then make another statement and test for that. And the statement goes like this: access is available to change this program. And, of course, what that implies is that access is available. There's a way of changing it. In the beginning, when I came across these statements, I discovered there's a wall. And there's a wall to inner discovery. And that wall seemed to be there for a reason. I couldn't understand the reason. But it seemed to be there, and it seemed to be cropping up every so often. Whenever I tried to get answers, there was this wall. And the wall can manifest in different ways, either just wrong findings, just absolute wrong findings. In other words, the muscle testing would produce so many different findings that it made no sense whatsoever. Or it would produce findings that were just nonsensical, or just whatever thought I wanted to hear. And so I could integrate for these things, and I'd get strong muscles, but it didn't really matter because nothing really changed. And the wall was the point at which reality met fantasy. And you can change whatever you want inside. And that's what a lot of, for example, creating state, NLP, stuff like that, hypnosis, you can create a state where you can feel inside just about anything you want to feel. Where the rubber meets the road is, does this translate into external reality? Does this translate into external results? Sometimes it does. Sometimes people are ready and they just need a small push. Most of the time, however, it doesn't translate. There's not a translation from inner feeling to external results. And so that's why I want to test the wall. That's why I came up with this process. And this is the only technique, logical soul is the only technique that I know of that addresses a specific need, and that is to get access to the decisions that have to do with those, what I call matrix decisions or factors that are pretty much hardwired into our consciousness from a very early age. And so getting access is real important. And so I have a person make the statement, access is available to change this program. If that is strong, I go to the next step. And the next step would be I allow Rhonda or Gina or whoever, if you're testing, if say I'm testing you, Rhonda, I would say I would have you make the statement, I allow Rhonda access to make, to change this statement, or I allow Rhonda access to change this program. And what you're saying is you're providing, see, the muscle test is like communication from your internal being or your subconscious, let's say. And so that internal being and subconscious, it's a helpful device to sort of separate the two, the subconscious and the conscious, as separate beings. And in fact, the Huna, Hawaiian Hunas talk about these beings inhabiting the body. They call the conscious mind the Uhane, or the one who speaks. And the subconscious, they call it the Unahipali, or the Ku, K-U. This is the one, basically, it does everything else. It feels, it has the emotions, it has all the memory, has a psychic sense, it rules most of the body, except for the conscious muscles. The conscious muscles are ruled by the Uhane, or the conscious mind. So they're actually two beings that inhabit the body, according to the Hawaiian Hunas. And so I found this a really helpful device, that when we separate the two and I just communicate, when I'm doing the muscle testing, I'm communicating with this Ku, or this inner being, subconscious being, and I'm asking its permission. Do you allow the conscious mind access to change this program? Do you allow Rhonda, for example, access to change this program? And it'll either say yes or no. If it's a yes, I proceed from there as if access is available, and there's a procedure during the resolution phase where we can change the program, change the decision, and you can come out feeling different, not too much different, but enough different to where you realize something took place. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is the results. Are the results there? And so getting access is a process in itself, and I go through this whole process in my membership where I teach people how to determine what is access, what is not access, how to get access. It usually involves having a conference, and real simply, if you want to get access to changing a program that has to do with your ancestors, for example, you have to have a family conference. You have to bring the ancestors in and do what I call a family conference, which is picture yourself in a room and you're addressing your ancestors. And over the years, I've noticed this process has become very quite real. If you read in Think and Grow Rich, he talks about having conferences with famous people or with, you know, like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, people like that. And he's saying he had to quit doing it because it became so real that it freaked him out. So so the thing about having conferences with ancestors is that they are real. They make up your DNA. I mean, they are who you are. And so it's actually even more real than these famous people that Napoleon Hill was talking about. But having a conference with your ancestors is very, very powerful, and or with your parents, even if they're alive or not, you can still have an internal conference with them, better consciously, obviously, but if you can do a real interview with your parents, if they're still alive, then that has even more power. However, the internal conference is very powerful as well. And you just go in and basically tell them, look, I've got this problem, and I've been taking on this problem because it's what I perceive as my inheritance from you. I think that it's my obligation to feel this way. That it's my obligation to take on this decision to feel the way I do about this thing about money or relationships or whatever you're talking about. And I would ask for your blessings and permission to let this go. And that's really
when
all
I went through my transformation. I had to go through this exact process. And the massage therapist that gave me this wonderful advice to remove the negativity from my life gave me a tool that I could use to have this kind of a talk that was so amazing. What she told me to do was to go into a room, close the door, turn the lights off, and she suggested using my bedroom so that I could take a pillow and put it on the bed in front of me. And standing in front of that pillow, imagine that the pillow is my mom. Talk to my mom and tell her everything that I'd always wanted to say but was afraid to tell her to her face. And uh-huh. After I got all of that out, sit on the pillow, imagine that I am now my mom, and respond with however I expected my mom to respond. And to keep going back and forth from standing in front of the pillow talking to my mom to sitting on the pillow talking as my mom, until the conversation got to wherever it needed to be. I did that for hours, several days in a row. And what came out of it was really what allowed me to then go through what I call my miraculous transformation. It was so powerful. And I don't think I ever would have been healed had I not gone through that process.
Yeah, it is a very powerful process. And you probably spend a lot more time than I tell my people to do, simply because I'm dealing, and that's very good, Gina, it's a very powerful thing, and you're absolutely right. What I'm dealing with is actually the seed form of that whole process, which I call the root decision or the matrix decision.
Yeah.
And so I'm not having a conversation so much as I'm asking permission to change a specific matrix decision having to do with, say, money or relationships or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when I ask permission for that particular decision, it's sort of like a laser process where I'm not necessarily having a conversation with the whole thing. It's great if you can do that, and if you can spend a couple of days doing that, it's an extremely powerful process, and I would advise that anybody who can or wants to do that. What I'm doing with the Money Matrix Method and with the Logical Soul is honing in on specific statements, whether or not we have access to the statements. If we don't, or if we do, we have that conference and we just go ask permission and blessing to change that decision. It's sort of like a laser thing, and the answer comes a lot quicker than just sort of...
Yeah, and you don't necessarily have to go through the whole conversation to get the permission and the blessing.
Exactly.
Right.
So the point is very laser-targeted to a specific statement that I call the matrix decision, that is sort of like a linchpin decision. When you pull this linchpin out, the whole log pile falls down or whatever. And so all the other decisions that relate to money may just fall in line after that. Once you change this particular decision, hopefully others will be in line as well. And then that starts the process of what I call peeling the onion, where if it's not the linchpin decision, if it's not the specific decision, you still get to change it, but you're going to have to peel the onion. You're going to have to find out, well, there are layers behind that. Maybe I didn't know what they were before, but now I do. And so you start the ball rolling, you start the process going where, and this is what the Money Matrix Method and the Logical Soul is. It's a process. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not this fixes it forever and ever process. It's a way of navigating, I guess, internally, a way of finding out what are the internal factors in my subconscious that are holding me back, and how can I change the decisions that relate to that along the way. And so just changing the decision, peeling the onion, finding out, well, this is the next thing that's up for me. For example, when I solve one or change one decision, something else suddenly crops up. Well, maybe now I can accept money, but now suddenly I'm finding out it's hard for me to commit to action, for example. So you maybe some other aspect of the money matrix becomes more prominent. So that would be like peeling the onion. You just need to look at that, go into that specific process and deal with that decision as well.
Awesome. That makes a lot of sense. Brenda, before we go any further, why don't we tell folks how they can find Michael's stuff and the Logical Soul book and whatnot?
So you can find the Logical Soul book either by clicking on the cover here on our show page. You can also go to logicalsoul.com, where you'd be able to find Dr. Michael Craig, find out about him, about the Logical Soul, and all the things that he's doing. And he'll be, I know, previewing the various projects and things that are coming up for him. And so they'll go to logicalsoul.com to find all of that. And this is such a great conversation. In talking about giving people the tools to make changes. And the one thing I think is really significant in our culture, our Western society, a lot of times people are trained not to trust things like having an internal conversation with your ancestors or Abraham Lincoln or, you know, your mother or father or whomever. And yet it's definitely in Think and Grow Rich. I remember that book influencing me as a child. I've had all kinds of awesome conferences with people throughout my life. We're just amazing. So if that is something that sounds a little strange or a little new or whatever, just think of it as that this deeper part of your mind that you don't always have the conscious awareness to, you're just creating a little bit of a bridge there and finding a mechanism, a way for those two aspects of yourself to have some open communication going on.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rhonda. Thank you for bringing that up. It brought to mind another issue, and that is that my whole life I've been looking for results. I've been looking for if, you know, there's the practical aspect of if it works, it's true. And
right.
So I've discovered that if it works, you know, why not do it? You know, even if it looks strange, it sounds strange, so what? If it works, do it. And that's been my attitude in life. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm not going to stop at looking for something just because it looks a little out of the ordinary. In fact, sometimes in the beginning, I would look for things out of the ordinary just to find
right.
out if
right.
any of them work. So, and I know you guys are probably the same way. So yeah, that was a good point. Yeah, the thing about the access that got to me was that this was the discovery I made back in 1992. I just sort of accidentally discovered access working with someone where usually I would test them, muscle test, and we'd make a statement, and this is true, yes, no. I'd have them do a little visualization. We'd go through some things, and a lot of times it would retest strong, but then the day after it would retest weak again. And I always tried to figure out, why do people keep coming back with the same problems? And that was my beef as a chiropractor, is that I would adjust someone, but they would walk out the door, and immediately they'd be reverting back to where they were before. And I found this was true with internal statements as well. And so I was just looking for a way of getting beyond that wall that keeps people just bouncing back. What is this wall? I call it a wall. But it's something that you can't get beyond. There seemed to be something that the subconscious does not allow you to go into that space. And later, when looking at Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he came up with a theory of motivation back in the 1940s. And he discovered that we have basic needs. And these needs are, you know, food, water, shelter, sex, things like that, as basic needs. And until these needs are met, then we can't go to the higher needs, such as relationships or longing or self-accomplishment or self-worth, things like that, which are higher in the pyramid, but they're based on or predicated on the fact that we've already fulfilled these lower needs. Like, you know, if you're crawling in the desert and you're about dying of thirst, self-worth is not an issue. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Water Getting is water is.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have water, your basic decision is got to have water, get water. That's all you're concerned about. It doesn't matter if anybody says, well, you know, you're not really good at relationships. Let's work on that. You say, you know, I don't care. Just give me water. And so to a lesser degree, we have this process going on internally, subconsciously, that we're focused on a particular need inside, and usually they're basic needs, and some are higher in the pyramid than others, and unless those basic needs are addressed, we can't move higher in the pyramid. We can't, for example, make a lot of money if we're still dealing with acceptance issues from our parents, something like that. That's coming to level two of Maslow's hierarchy of belonging, sense of feeling belonging. And so you got to deal with those issues. And so part of the process I'm using with the mother, father, ancestor decision in the money matrix method is to allow a person to deal with those decisions that had to do with those very, very fundamental aspects of need and motivation that once they're addressed, that motivation is fulfilled, and then they can move on. So in a very real sense, this whole discovery came about because I began to look beyond what are the things that I wanted to change in a person, and what does a person actually require at this particular moment, at this particular time, and addressing that. And so, in a sense, I didn't know what I was going to come across every time I did the muscle testing or every time I did the process. It was sort of like a discovery each time in, sort of like Columbus sailing over the horizon. You don't know what you're going to find, but you know it's going to be interesting. And each time I would come away with some other interesting tidbit, something about motivation that I just began to discover over and over and over again, and found out the wisdom in Maslow's hierarchy and how this relates to our need to accomplish things and our motivation. It's almost like we have dual motivation or mixed intent going on. We want one thing, but we do another. And people who go through that process don't understand that there's a hidden intent. There's something going on subconsciously underneath all of this stated intent that has not been fulfilled. They're still living a life of unfulfilled existence because they haven't dealt with the issues. And you know what I'm talking about. Dealing with the issues in logical soul and money matrix method just means simply going in, changing the matrix decisions that have to do with that issue, and then come away clean, come away ready to go to the next level. And so it's a way of, and that's why it could be done so fast, is that you just go in, you find out if you have access, yes, no. If you don't have access, there's a process of getting access, which takes a little longer to explain than this show. But it really involves just finding out who has access, getting in touch with what I call personal archetypes. These are images or people or figures, religious or otherwise, that have to do with opening that door to the subconscious that I have not seen addressed in other techniques, that you can actually get beyond, get into that realm of decisions, these matrix decisions, and change those. If you do have access, and a lot of people do, a lot of issues do, then you don't need this step. But if you don't have access, this step is crucial. And so that would be the third step. And the fourth is a resolution where you go in and either have the conference with the ancestors or the parents or whatever, or you go through this visualization process. I like to use a visualization of getting on there's a path that leads to a very large, elaborate gate, and the gate opens and light begins to shine from the other side towards you and whoever you're walking with, your archetypal guide or whoever it is, and covering you with light. And you walk toward this gate in light, and you tell that little child, whether it's your inner child or whether it's your ancestors or whoever it is, that when we get to this gate and you step over the threshold, you will have made a new decision. And you emphasize a new decision will have been made regarding this issue. And as they get closer to the light, you just give them lots of heads up and say, this is a place of new decision. And so when you cross over this, you will have made a new decision in this place. And once they step over that threshold, then the light covers them from top to bottom. I usually have a person visualize this, go through the process of getting covered with the light, looking into their eyes, thanking them for making the new decision, bringing them into your heart, opening your heart, letting them come into your heart, then going over the edge of this place, looking down, seeing the earth, hopping onto the silver cord that runs to the earth, coming down back in, into the earth, back into your body, coming into the body, circulating throughout the body, all the tissue cells and organs of the body, feeling grounded, coming back in, and then opening the eyes. This is a part of resolution, a very powerful part of the process, where a person begins to feel a new decision circulating within their body and their nervous system, where they feel that this decision has been changed, that it's safe to have changed that, and they have support in the changing of it. And so very, very potent stuff. And the results show themselves. I've since doing this process myself, doors have opened unbelievably. I've begun to see all sorts of opportunity come my way that I would not have seen before. And I've talked with many, many, many people that I've worked with who have had the same experiences since this process unfolded, and I found that very, very powerful stuff, and I'm looking forward to getting more results from it.
That's great. Yeah, and you found a system.
Yeah, it's a system. As I said, the seven steps, or what I call the seven factors of the money matrix, but there's four steps, really, is all there is to it. And in the book I'm coming out with, I'm going to cover the steps. I'm not going to go into detail about access, because that's generally a whole process in and of itself. But generally speaking, the other processes are very simple, very easy to do, and it only takes about less than a half an hour, usually.
And although we're talking about this today with regard to money or relationships, this process can be used to achieve whatever results you're looking for, correct?
Oh, absolutely. One of the problems I've had, and Rhonda knows this problem I had, was that, Rhonda, I have this thing. I have this thing that's so powerful it can solve any problem out there. And I want to write a book. What should I do? And I think you told me, it says, well, you need to focus in on something. And so that's what I begin to realize. That I can't be all over the board with this. I have to nichify it, as it were. And it goes against my brain to do that, because I generally tend to generalize things and sort of make it bigger and bigger instead of focusing down. But it's really taught me.
Yeah, but if you do that, if you don't nichify it, then although you understand what you're talking about, someone else really gets it. Because it's solution. They're stuck in problem.
Right. And so absolutely I've had to break it down into not only steps, but also what objectives do we have? And that's really where the money matrix method came from. Was that, enough people have problems with money, including myself, I realized, well, this is the area I need to start. I mean, I need to really put something out there that addresses this critical problem that a lot of people seem to have. And what is it that stops them from taking the action? And I hear, for example, a conversation between Frank Kern and Tony Robbins, where I don't know if you heard them. They were in Fiji and Tony's house and having this conversation. And there was another internet marketer. I can't remember his name, but he was with them. And they were just going on about, we've got all these great programs and we've got this phenomenal knowledge and we've got all this stuff going on. And why don't people – and people buy this stuff, but then they don't open the package. And I just wanted to say, and the light went off in my head, and I just realized, well, the people who have the money, the people who are successful, the people who are out there making things happen, don't understand that there is a huge gap between taking action and a huge gap between those who receive information and those who and the ability to take action. And I've seen this in myself, where I would literally have the knowledge that could just transport my life into a different realm of being and success, and I didn't take action. And I watched myself not taking action, and I watched myself going deeper and deeper into reasons why action was not possible now. And a lot of times we look at this and we tend to gloss over it. We tend to think, well, you got stinking thinking, or you got stuff going on that's just not working for you, and get beyond that. And so we use all sorts of techniques like, hypnosis, NLP, all these things to sort of get beyond what we really haven't addressed. Instead of looking at it, we're trying to get beyond it. And I guess the whole process that came to me was that, and this is where I came up with the theory of the very good reason. Well, there's a very good reason why there's no action taking place right now. What is that reason? And I just sort of gave credence to this gap that nobody seemed to be looking at, but yet needed so much attention, needed such attention that no one was looking at it. Because the successful people don't even really know that the gap is there, because they haven't experienced it. I know a good friend of mine who says that in his early – in fact, I've interviewed many, many successful people who describe growing up, and they're describing, well, I had this awesome mom and pop and these parents, and I've had this – and then they gave me this success early in life, and I realized that, I could do this. And there's a lot of people who've had struggles, don't get me wrong, but for some reason they had little successes that sort of created what I would call a success money matrix early in life that just sort of catapulted them to success later in life. Even though they had money problems and challenges and difficulties, it doesn't mean that inside the difficulties were there, and that's the critical difference. Even though you may have a lot of money, and there are a lot of people who inherit a lot of money, but they have what I would call a poor money matrix inside, where they either lose it or something happens where they don't continue to make it or they can't keep it, because there's something inside that's chunking it out as soon as it comes to them. And so my whole quest has been to discover what a lot of the success, what I call the success gurus, haven't figured out, and that is that there's differences. And they say, well, I did this, so anybody can do that. Well, that's where I disagree. I think that there's something inside of a successful person that they own, and they have owned most of their lives, and so they don't see that other people don't own this state or this success money matrix. And it's been my quest to sort of come out of the poor money matrix into the success money matrix and find a way. If I could do this, then I know anybody else can. And that's been my quest.
Well, and I think like the successful people who can't see this because it didn't exist necessarily within them, those who really are stuck are so stuck that they don't realize that there is another way, that there is a way out of being stuck. And rarely do you find someone who really is stuck and knows that doing certain things will get them unstuck and that these are the things that they need to do. That middle ground of people is so small, it just really doesn't happen very often. So the logical soul is really going to help both those who have had success, who maybe lose that success for whatever reason, and those who still have yet to figure out what they're missing to allow them to become successful in the first place.
Exactly.
And those
exactly.
People really are the vast majority of people on this planet.
Right. You're absolutely right. And it's... Now, there are people, like you said, who are so stuck that they don't even know they're stuck. They're stuck beyond
right.
hope.
Right.
And I can't address those people. I mean, those people know, well, they don't know who they are because they don't know they're stuck. But they're so stuck that their paradigm is so locked in that they just don't. In other words, they consciously think that they're supposed to be where they're supposed to be because that's just where they consciously be. And so there's nothing
yep.
I can do to address that. That's just a whole...
Absolutely.
That's
right,
a whole
right.
group of people that are where
they
are. They
need a whole paradigm shift before any of us can really help them.
Right.
That's
and
true.
So my point is not to take the little old lady across the street, even though she doesn't want to go. My point
yeah,
is that
exactly.
those people that are sort of crawling across the street, but... you know, afraid to take the next step. They're sort of halfway across, don't know what to do. Those are the people, and I was one of them, who need the most help. I mean, they really want the other
yeah.
side, but they just don't know what's stopping them. They don't know how to get there. And the people on the other side are saying, well, I made it. You can, too. I can, you know, I did it, and this is how
right.
you do it. You just keep walking. And they say, well, I can't keep walking. And they don't know the reason why they can't keep walking. They just know that it's there. And so
yeah.
Those are the people I address. Those are the ones who have a desire but don't have the inner capacity yet built up to take the next step or to do those things that need to be done.
And what I love about the system that you shared today is that for those people who really do want to get across the street, it is such a simple system that it puts it within the reach of anyone who really does have that desire.
Yeah, it is simple, and it takes a certain amount of courage to just look at. Like you said.
Yeah, it really does.
And it's not something, because a lot of people don't want to see that they're limited. You know, we're grown up that any criticism, that especially if you're not successful, you're really, really sensitive to any criticism that comes your way about money. Even though you don't have any money and you know you don't have the money and the capacity is limited, you don't want anybody else to know that.
Right.
You know? So even the one testing you, you just don't want to. And so that's why I'm saying get someone who you trust, who you can work with, who you can test with, to go over these things with. No one else has to know. But you do need to test and you need to find out what you can about your own limitations, about your own matrix decisions, and whether or not you can get beyond these. And once you discover these things, then you'll find a sense of discovery. You'll start feeling a sense of discovery, and that's really what opens the door. Once you start the process, you get more excited to continue on the process, and that's what I'm hoping on.
Absolutely. So tell us about the new book, The Money Matrix, and when it's due to come out, and what makes it different from The Logical Soul, and that kind of thing.
Well, we've gone over a little bit about that during the session, during the talk here, but essentially The Logical Soul was a 300-page book that goes over basically every nuts and bolts that I ever put out there. It's basically an overview of everything that happened that bring about The Logical Soul and what you can do to eliminate self-sabotage. It's sort of a compendium, I would say, of everything I've ever come up with. It didn't have as many specifics as I would like. And Rhonda helped me figure that out. She said, well, at 300 pages, people don't understand that, you know, they have to read a 300-page book before they can do something in 30 minutes or less. And I said, well, yeah, you got a point, you know. And so I wanted to come up with So I wanted to come up with some way that people could sort of take a specific path. Say, for example, it's money. And that's who I'm writing for, the people who have money issues who want a quick solution. They want something that they can start using right away and don't have to wade through 300 pages to get there. And so the money matrix method was a way that is just an answer to that. I just wanted to create a simple method, a little bit of an introduction, enough to get them warmed up for people who don't know what I'm talking about at all, but not too much to where those who do have some idea what I'm talking about don't get caught up and don't get stopped by it. Give them specific steps that they can take to, first of all, discover or identify instantly the number one factor that holds them back from success and money. And once they discover that, then I'm going to give them some general information about how they can begin to resolve that issue and what it would take to do that. And they'll be more available on the website for those who want to dig further into it. So really, the first process is really education, to find it, you know, let people find out what is holding them back. There is something holding me back. I know what it is, but I mean, I don't know what it is, and let me find out what it is. Once they discover that, then they're motivated. Then they're saying, oh, yeah, well, I got this problem with accepting money. I can't accept more than $20 or whatever. What do I do next? And so it's a natural curiosity built in. They're going to want to know more, and I will give them enough information to where they can help themselves do that and very quickly begin to find out how to get beyond that limitation and start the whole process. So it's really a journey, but the book will be enough to sort of get people started, to discover exactly what it is that stops them, and enough tools to where if they want to do it themselves, they can do it. There are other tools that I will provide that will allow them to get more of what they want to figure out. And they can get this at moneymatrixmethod.com. In fact, I've got a report that they can get, a free video and then a report. So if they want to go to moneymatrix.com, they can get that. I'll also have other information available through that website or at thelogicalsoul.com or logicalsoul.com without the V.
And from the Money Matrix, after that book, where does that lead people to within your business?
That would lead them to more programs having to do with the logical soul. Logical soul is just sort of an overview of all the matrices and everything that goes on. But I've have some other books that are in the wings. There's a health matrix, which I'm going to be writing soon enough. In fact, I've got to come up with something. I've been invited to a conference in Vancouver by Brad King, who's a nutrition expert, to possibly do something with him. And so I've got to work on something called the health matrix soon enough. So I'll be focusing on that before long. And there's also the relationship matrix. My wife is specifically interested in that topic because she says there's so many people that just want primary or loving relationships, and there are decisions that relate to getting these relationships and keeping them. And so I'm going to be focusing on the relationship matrix and how that all works. So really, money, relationships, and health, that covers a lot of ground. I have an idea for the future. There'll be a book related to spirituality or happiness, unfolding that in general.
I have your title already. I won't share it on the air, though.
Okay. I'd love to hear it. And so the logical soul basically will incorporate all of these matrices and how they pull themselves together and function as a whole. So that's really where it's headed. And I've got a lot of work to do, and I could use some help. So I appreciate you having
me. I would never look at it as you've got a lot of work to do. You don't want to put that out to the universe.
I've got a lot of
lives to change in your future, and you're going to have a lot of fun doing it is a much better way to say it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Say.
The thing is, though, I love
a lot of work.
I really
like
do love
fun.
Work. So it's, for me, it wasn't a negative, but I understand your point. I've got a lot of stuff to do. I got a lot of activity, a lot of excitement building, a lot of anticipation.
There you go.
A lot of thrilling rides to take. So
There you go. That's much better.
Yeah.
Much,
yeah.
much
better. It feels better,
and
too.
So many lives.
To me, that's the best part of it, right, Rhonda? So many lives to change.
That's what gets me excited. That's what gets me through putting up with the times when the technology has issues or when, you know, whatever comes up or something new to be learned is, I love learning new things, and so I just think about playing with it instead of working with it. I often say, well, let's just play with this instead of let's just work with this for a while. And then just the lives to be touched, that's the biggest thing that will get you out of bed, up and going, and excited more than just about anything.
And, Michael, please, just let Rhonda and I know if we can do anything to help along the way.
Oh
yeah.
You're so such a blessing. Thank you so much. My goal is to transform the lives of 10 million people, so I'll definitely be in touch with you on that because, as I said, we've got a lot of thrilling rides to take. So,
I will gladly help in whatever we can.
Let me mention that Michael has a gift that he's giving in the Christmas greetings giveaway, which even though it's past Christmas Day, the giveaway is still open. And people can receive his gift over at askggg.com/Xmas, X-M-A-S. And you can register to receive Michael's gift and from a number of the people in the Directions U community. So that will be a lot of fun for you to receive his gift. And the banner or the little tag is on logicalsoul.com currently, so you can find him over there as well. So definitely urge you to go and pick up Michael's gift there. And you can also find Michael Craig at logicalsoul.com, logicalsoul.com. And that's where you'll be able to connect with him and find out about the Money Matrix Method, the book, and other things that are coming up and other programs. And, you know, Michael has some great educational programs and life-changing programs in place and yet to come. So it's very, very exciting. I'm glad we could finally get you on the show.
I'm delighted to be here, Rhonda. Thank you and Gina for inviting me. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, and Bill and I are looking forward to heading south sometime in January. So as we head through Atlanta, I will make sure to give you a call and connect with you before we head all the way
down
to Naples.
Would love to have you over.
Hopefully you guys won't be having snow when we head through.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Welcome anytime.
Well, we've got about 90 seconds to wrap up here, so let me mention also that for those of you listening who want to build your lists like Michael and Rhonda and I are doing with the Christmas Greetings giveaway, you can also register as a JV partner to give a gift yourself in a way that will let you help to build your own list. And you can do that at askggg.com/XMASJV, Xmas JV. And if you don't know how to do that, I'll join us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, where we're doing my 30-day I Am Challenge Gold Calls. And right now we're smack dab in the middle of a series of calls that are all about how to build a list of 500 to 1,000 subscribers by giving a gift like Michael and Rhonda have in the Christmas Greetings giveaway. So you can do that at 30dayiamchallenge.com. So Rhonda and Michael, thank you so much for being here for another really great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Rhonda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for yet another episode. And this weekend, have a wonderful new year and really look forward to making 2011 your best year ever. I know all of us here at Relationship Marketing 101 and in the Directions U community are looking forward to that as well. Thank you again, Rhonda and Michael, and I will see you all next year.
Thank you.
Yes, next year, happy new year to everybody who's listening, and Michael and Gina to yourselves as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.